Classical Conversations presents Refining Rhetoric with CEO Robert Bortons, a podcast where faith, business, politics, and classical education meet. Join us as we use the classical tools of rhetoric to seek truth in every arena of life.
Hey everyone, interrupting this podcast to remind you that the best Christmas pageant ever is now in theaters. Kick off your Christmas season with this heartwarming story that captures the true joy and meaning of Christmas. This is a personal favorite of mine. We read it every year, and it is also a CC book. It is an official challenge read, and this story is filled with laughter, unforgettable moments, and the message of love and grace. So the movie will remind you that no one is beyond the reach of hope. Go get your tickets today at bestchristmaspageantever.movie. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to another episode of Refining Rhetoric. I am your guest host, Chris Blackburn, and today we're going to be highlighting our top five classical educational conversations. We're leading off today with Lee Bortons. You know her, you love her, founder of Classical Conversations. Let's jump into her episode.
How has your view of math changed, and how have you maybe fallen in love with math or started to understand math more effectively by just diving in and writing this curriculum?
Yeah, so one of the things I really want the audience to understand is that God says to not make light of the small things. And the numbers 0, 1, 2, 3, the counting numbers, are so rich in mystery and theology. They're so useful in the advanced maths. And to try to explain my point, I know God better because of writing this curriculum in the sense of exploring math and trying to know him better, working to do that. And so we could never have said, we have one God in three persons, the second of which is Jesus Christ, if he didn't think the numbers 1, 2, and 3 were pretty important. You could spend a lifetime studying those three numbers. And then when he tells you that all came out of nothing and that he's eternal, you could spend another lifetime studying 0 and infinity and trying just to get to know him around those five ideas. And so it's that richness that makes you, when you start to see that you become astonished and you become more curious and you have questions you never knew you were going to have. So we begin the curriculum with that. We spend the first 3 weeks basically looking at those ideas, nothing, how I created it, creation out of nothing. You know, we should study the number 0. We look at numbers. What's the threeness of the number 3? And then we go on to compare them to one another. And that's something that you can get a PhD in mathematics if you want. So people who are concerned about gaps or that, you know, where is this going to take our child? Hopefully it's going to take them to the throne room of God. And on the way, you may learn to calculate and do geometry better.
As you likely already know, at Classical Conversations, we believe all education points back to Christ. But is it accurate to say that Christian education is a biblical mandate? Here's what Douglas Wilson had to say.
One of the things that I thought about to get you in trouble is to be obedient to God, do you believe that parents must do all they can to give their kids a Christian education?
Yes.
And will that be a controversial statement? And should that be a controversial statement inside of churches?
Yeah, I can understand why that was controversial back when we started. You know, there were school districts in East Tennessee where the superintendent was a Christian. All the teachers were Christian. They all went to the local Southern Baptist church, and they ignored the State Board of Education, you know, right? But things have gone off a cliff in the last few years, such that I don't think it is debatable anymore whether or not Christian parents have the responsibility to keep their kids away from that. Basically, things with the transsexual business, with the drugs administered by the school nurse, with the CRT being taught in the public schools. It's just one wicked thing after another. And so now I do want to say one thing. There are some cases I've dealt with as a pastor where you've got a nasty divorce and one of the spouses has left the faith, and you've got a single mom in your church and the kids have to go to the public school through court because of a court order. Right. So I don't want to say that it's a, that it's a sin if your kids are in the government school system. People like that should have our sympathy and support, and we should do whatever we can. But where parents have a choice, all right, where parents have a choice, I believe that it is morally obligatory to provide your children with a Christian education and not with a militantly secular education.
One of the most important things about classical education is the ability to think logically. We dive deeper into the topic of formal logic with Filter It Through Our Brain Cells host, Kathy Gibbons.
Now, why is it important that we give these skills of critical thinking and detecting logical errors to our young people? Do they really need them? I mean, they don't teach them in government schools, as far as I'm aware. You know, you pretty much have to opt in or be a philosophy major in college to get access to this type of thinking or be in a classical conversations community.
To get it, yeah. That's by design. Honestly, that's by design. The whole public education system was created to turn out a product, meaning a person who is not a critical thinking, a person who is able to take orders and follow rules and just, like they do in the military, salute and execute. Don't ask questions. Don't think for yourself. Don't analyze. Like, you just need to do what we say, essentially. So the whole education system, the government education system, is really designed that way for a reason, for a purpose. It's a really interesting history to study that. But I think for this generation that's coming up, it is more important than ever. And I'm just going to throw this in now with the addition of AI in our lives. And it is becoming ubiquitous now. It's everywhere, is developing some kind of an AI system. And some of them, I think, are being used for good. But there's some of them that are 100% not being used for good, that are simply being used to fool. And are like, I just recently saw there's this guy on Instagram who started an account, and the whole account is just pictures of this woman that's been completely made up by AI. So she's totally fake. It's all pictures of this fake woman. And this account makes over like $10,000 a month with ads and sponsorships from major companies. And it's not even a real person, but the pictures look real. And there's a news agency that's just getting up and going that they're only going to use AI news producers, right? AI people to give the news. It's not even going to be a real person giving the news. And I thought, this generation is truly growing up in an age where how would you know what to believe? How would you know what's true? Truth is going to be just a blur out there if they don't have some skills, if they don't have the tools to know how to think, and if they don't have the tools to discern, okay, what's true and what's not true. And AI is just one example of that. So I think for their own mental health, for their own emotional health, for their own ability to elect people who actually have their good in mind and their welfare in mind versus an agenda, it is an essential skill for these kids. Yes. I don't know. I think it's always been important, but I think even more so today, just with the technology and the access to information that we have, I think it's absolutely essential.
Now time for a controversial take. Not everyone we spoke with believes that education is a basic human right. Here's what Lynn Taylor had to say.
UNESCO stands for United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And so with them being lock, stock, and barrel in with the Declaration for Human Rights, especially for children, where it says, you know, you have a human right to education. I want folks to understand education is a privilege. It is not a human basic right. A human basic right would be those inalienable rights that God gave us, which was freedom, ability to think, ability to act on our own, to, you know, use the skills that he gave us, to go the places that he had for us with food and water and shelter. Those are the inherent rights that we were given. So a human right kind of slaps in the face where they say, well, we're going to come over here and we're going to maybe put in some quasi-God inalienable rights, but then we're going to come over here and we're going to just control the bejeebers out of them, because after all, that's what you do, because you're too stupid to think for yourself. So we're going to groom you on how to think. Therefore, you will trust us with where you live and what you do for a living.
Whether you see education as a right or as a luxury, in our final conversation with Adam Powers, he talks about how homeschooling has its perks. He explains how he and his family are using their time homeschooling to travel the world.
So tell us a little bit about making that decision to go live in an RV with four kids and your wife.
As soon as, you know, we saw that it was possible, we just decided to hit the ground and run, you know, do something drastic. We sold our house. We moved into an RV. We traveled for the first year, not every day, you know, every week, every month, because Lord knows we don't have the economy, you know, things go up. But yeah, we just decided to make that decision. We just understood that, you know, there was just non-negotiables in my life that comfort, it was negotiable. But my kids' education, the love that, you know, that we have for each other, that was non-negotiable, that I had to protect that at all costs. And so moving into the RV, that seemed like a logical thing to do for us. And right now we're still living in the RV. Things are going well. It's getting a little close because my sons, they're getting bigger.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, soccer, and another baseball. And then I just got one who just likes to run around and eat. So
that gets worse the older they get, I'm told.
So I've been told as well.
And that's all we have time for today. What was your favorite episode of the year? What was your favorite conversation on education? Please leave a comment and review us on Spotify or your favorite podcasting platform.
Thank you for listening to Refining Rhetoric with Robert Portens. Want more? Make sure to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. You can also follow us on social media to continue the conversation and visit classicalconversations.com/rhetoric to find out how you can join a local homeschool community.